Welcome everyone to Radio Sentai Cast Ranger.
It's getting exciting now! Woo!
We're live!
Watching all the anime! Red Caster, Joe Raven!
Equipment Wielder, Blue Caster, Ichida Zazeel!
Respecting the source material, Green Caster, Zenshi!
Actually White, Black Caster, Ransack!
Loyal and Loud, Pink Caster, Lightred!
Trauma Inducer, North Caster, Saga!
Broadcasting loud and opinionated perspectives across the internet!
Radio Sentai Cast Ranger!
On air!
Otsukare! Okay, so, welcome proper to episode 54 of Radio Sentai Cast Ranger.
It's getting exciting now.
We have a full room here tonight, including Mr. Northcaster.
What's up, y'all?
Woo! Good to see you appearing on so many episodes after your prolonged absence.
Yes, well, you know how it is with the contagious diseases and such.
Right, we're not fully infected yet.
That's racist.
I'll say this, it's like they show on TV. Everyone in China is wearing one of those masks.
Oh, that's for real?
Yeah,
I'll get you some chicken noodle soup and Sprite.
I'd like to give a quick shout out to Anthony, who has recently become a new viewer to our podcast.
Oh,
Thank you. Thank
that
you.
Marathoned our whole show in like a week.
Apparently he's been like marathoning our show like every day while he's at work, so now he's actually really disappointed. He has to wait a week now to watch listen to an episode.
We'll see you around when we know.
Thank you for feeding me a comment. I'm not hungry this week.
I'm going to drink to that.
Yeah. Spoiler. He's actually using it to torture people by making him listen to us all.
Aww.
I'm kidding. I love you, guy.
Thank you, Anthony.
So
that bottle was full.
I don't know who you are.
For Tuzo.
So a couple
but
bits.
But it's just me.
So a couple bits of news, some of which I actually meant to talk about many weeks ago, but didn't for various reasons. People may know by now that there was a Ninja stage show recently during which Shinken Red cameoed.
Oh.
I thought that was pretty cool.
Like actual, like actor and everything?
No. Oh. It was a stage show, so it's like almost nobody from the actual cast.
Oh.
That's how the stage shows work. But it was cool because they did like a whole roll call with Shinken Red with the Ninjas. I didn't watch the whole show, I just watched the roll call.
Huh.
I just hope that this is a sign of more cameos to come, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was cool. They also talked about the super form of Ninja a while ago. The Shobu Chozetsu Changer, which translates to Battle Transcendence Changer, is a wrist-type attachment with a lion ninshuriken design that allows Akinindra to power up into Akinindra Chozetsu, which is basically super Akinindra.
It looks silly.
He's themed after a Japanese castle, and it's like super blocky.
I disagree. I like it.
I like it too.
I'm pretty okay with this. Yeah.
He looks like a pagoda.
It's very
That's what he is.
That's the point.
It's very reminiscent of Hibiki.
Kinda, yeah.
I like the shuriken, that's for sure. I get it. The blade's the main.
Pyroar,
there
that's
you go.
The one.
They also showed the Zord that comes with it, which is basically a big lion that then...
Yay, the Ultra Zord.
Shinobi Maru, or Chirikenjin, then combines inside of somehow.
Oh my god, it's Voltron!
Guy, that thing is awesome!
Yeah, it looks pretty cool.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Gurren Lagann, the Megazord.
DX Lion Howl.
Even if I only buy one Megazord, I'll buy that one.
It combines with Shurikenjin and Bison King to form the How Shurikenjin. More Shinkenger references.
How? So do I need all three?
Probably.
Curses!
They also revealed another assist mech.
Fucking Metal Greymon Zord.
It's actually called Dino Maru. It's a movie exclusive.
Of course.
Supposedly, movie exclusive, gotta get it!
Supposedly it's a remold of Palin Maru, although I'm not seeing it entirely.
You know what it looks like? It's got like the
with
drill.
The cannons? Yeah.
It's got like the drill tail of
the Dragon Zord.
The Dragon Zord, yeah.
It's got a shuriken for its ass.
Well, yeah, the shurikens are always part of its design, but it's basically the what would happen if the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, Tyrannosaurus, and Dragon Zord actually just those two combined and then became orange.
What's cool is looking at the shuriken, I like...
Oh, the shuriken looks fucking badass.
The stylistic flair they're probably going to add to Shurikenjin.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Shurikenjin Dino? I would love it.
Well, that's what I mean.
Yeah, looking at the shuriken.
Having that thing sit in the middle of the Megazord.
I bite you the tail, get used as a weapon.
Yeah. Can I just say this? That movie exclusive sword is a dinosaur.
Isn't there a shot of it there?
So, we're going to have more Kyoryuger crossovers?
Maybe. I'd be okay with that.
I like the fact that there's...
No, you know what it's... You know what movie it's probably for? Kyoryuger versus Ninja.
Probably.
No, it's Ninja versus Tokyuger.
I like the fact that there's...
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm excited.
I was about to say...
Oh, what do you like the fact...
I like the fact that their Zords are an amalgamation of every Zord trope just made one-offs.
Yeah, exactly.
Every single one of them is a different type of Zord that has existed and has existed over and fucking over because Sentai only has a few tropes. But at the same time, each one is like a thing that they've done, but it's like a combination of like misfit Sentais from being put into one. It's pretty neat.
I'm just looking at the alternate form, and at first glance, it just kind of looks like...
An Ed-209?
Yeah. You have 40 seconds to comply.
I'm also a dragon.
You have interrupted the Aladdin and Jasmine wedding. Prepare to be vaporized.
Thank you.
Look at my butt dick. Also, that wasn't at 209 in Aladdin 3.
It was. That was the point.
Thank you, Paul, for noticing the joke.
Do not move or we will shoot ourselves.
Godward! Cover.
Anyways, moving on.
Fine. Fuck you.
So, the toy company that makes the Kamen Rider Complete Selection modification series...
Bandai.
Is it Bandai? I don't know.
It is Bandai.
Whatever. The point is, they decided to fulfill my boyhood hopes and dreams and confirm the details of the Complete Selection modification DN Driver.
They didn't fuck it up!
Boyhood?
Yes. Retroactively.
Paul, it took 12 years to make.
So, oh, they confirmed that not
only... only 27!
26.
What, realistically, he's gonna be 27 soon. I just turned 26, you're one step closer to the grave.
I'm painfully interested in this.
I know, right?
I realized when you were saying that, now that Dave doesn't live here anymore, I'm the oldest again.
Oh no?
You're the closest to the grave.
Yeah, thanks.
You're the closest to the grave.
Tell us, Grandfather. Tell us stories around the fire.
Please, Grandfather.
Tell us what the world was like before the war.
Grandpa Raven. Was electricity a revolutionary invention? Or was it mostly overlooked for a while?
Are you the Raven from the Edgar Allan Poe story, the Raven?
What were dinosaurs like? Surely you must have ridden one.
A stegosaurus or the like.
Or they blew like on the telly.
Did they sing like a Land Before Time and perhaps Tree Stars?
Anyways.
Were they an allegory for marijuana?
Please tell us what is included in this DM driver.
Oh, right. It's a gun you put cards in!
Okay.
Back to the cards!
No, this is worth talking about.
No, it's not!
Shut up!
Yes, it is! This is revolutionary toy stuff!
It's fucking DN!
Fuck you! I care!
I'm buying this!
Brickhead!
I'm willing to
Brickhead can suck my massive dong!
And he'll be able to do so with his new DN driver!
No, he won't be because he's wearing a fucking helmet that looks like I can make a house with it!
Rider is pretty cool. These podcasts get more violent than the actual shows.
I feel like I can scan his face and it come up $2.99.
Can you shut up and let me talk about it for a
minute? No! DN is not worth talking about.
That's the end of your arguments. So, the DN driver, this time, is actually a fucking card scanner, for one.
Holy shit.
And what's a really cool thing, you know in Decade where, like, DN actually, like, put multiple cards in to activate them? You can do that.
Yeah.
So the scanner's in the front bit, under where the card goes in, most likely. And they've confirmed that it does come with not only the belt with the card holder, but it actually comes with, like, fucking
every card, 30 cards. No, literally every card DN's ever used.
I'm going to list them off because everyone needs to know what this comes with. the Dien card, the Dien complete form card, all of his attack and final attack cards. And then the cards for G3, G4, Oja, Scissors, Guy, Raya, Ryuga, Fum, Riot Troopers, Kaiza, Delta, Saga, Orga, Glaive, Ibuki, Todoroki, Zanki, Kabuki, Caucasus, Hercus, Keras, Drake, Sasord, Punch Hopper, Ixa, Ray, Saga, Arc, and Skull.
And a Partridge, and a Partridge.
And supposedly there's a card binder that you can also buy that comes with the yellow Dien power-up card.
I never allowed my name to be used in this card. I need royalties on this bitch. Saga.
Go buy that, and you... Oh, yeah, that's right, you do.
Maybe I'll give you a card as a gift.
I like that they gave you cards in place of acknowledging that there is no Dien K-Touch.
Yeah.
Maybe they are making Dien K-Touch.
Why would we want one?
Speaking of a bad touch.
So, this is amazing, and I'm totally buying it. Just saying.
Yep. I will wait to see your results and then probably follow suit if I like what I see.
Yeah.
I'll maybe play with it 2 times and then make fun
lose
of you for
complete
it.
Interest.
And then maybe make fun of you for it.
And then shoot you with it.
As a Zenshindu.
As a Zenshindu. Also, it doesn't shoot bullets, so I don't give a shit.
As a Zenshindu.
It's got metal.
That's our
tips.
Episode name.
Really? I was going to call it Grandpa Raven.
Both good.
Nevermore.
Tough call. Yeah. And in other news, I recently realized that Oren Pierre Alfonso is goddamn Jambi the Genie.
At least looks like
Jambi. I took my first look at Jambi the Genie in a Google image search. Yes, I'm that old and I've never watched Pee-wee's Playhouse. And I said, that's motherfucking Kamen Rider Bravo, good sir. Do a search for Jambi and then pull up a picture of Oren and tell me those two aren't separated at birth.
Oh. Eka Eka Hai! Oh, yes. Heidi Ho!
God, I hate you so much. Okay, Ichi and I are also going to mention this. So, Minichi did finish the rest of Earth Defense Club Love.
Oh,
and
boy.
And oh boy, was it a fun, adorable series.
They throw one
but
shit ton of them a twist.
We discovered something interesting.
Oh, right.
That evil.
Not exactly.
How about this? You know the villain in Ninja? Like,
Kiba
the big
Oni,
guy?
Kiba Oni Gengetsu?
He's voiced by Wombat.
Yeah.
So that pink Wombat...
And that's a twist in the show, how?
No, it's not a twist in the show. That's just a thing we discovered.
Okay. Yeah,
I was just also
same,
saying...
the same VA.
The show has a hilarious twist at the end. By the way, the voice of Wombat is the voice of Kibo Onigengetsu.
Yeah.
Oh, you looked that up already?
No, more like I kind of recognize the voice actor.
Yes.
Well, thanks for mentioning it, fuckface!
Yes, you're a walking encyclopedia.
Yeah, fucking Wombat.
We can't all be you, Raven.
Not all of us are hiding.
Kevin's just like,
Lane was excited to tell everyone, and you're going shit all over his brain.
Kevin's just like,
good job, Grandpa!
I don't know how to process this.
I don't have an opinion. Not all of us can have an encyclopedic knowledge of anime and voice acting under our very schnazzy baseball cap.
But if we remove the hat...
Then it all escapes and we will take your power!
It's like looking into the Ark of the Covenant!
Anyways!
Yes, Raven's hat's removed, melts Nazis.
Yes.
Continue.
Move on to Drive!
It's my special power.
Shut up!
Melting Nazis.
Yes.
All we need is Drive!
Okay, so today we're talking about Kamen Rider Drive, episode 26, as well as Snee Ninja, episode 8. And for our special, we're talking about Kamen Rider Drive, special episode, Type High Speed.
More like special ad.
Terrybee-kun!
The Terrybee-kun Hyper Battle.
More like ad for Terrybee-kun.
More like Terrible-kun!
Yes,
but...
yes, Paul. The Hyper Battle DVDs are ads for Terrybee-kun. Thank you for piecing together the mystery.
We can all sleep at night now.
At least they're a little more subtle by just calling them Hyper Battle DVDs as opposed to the Sentai, which just straight up calls them Television Specials.
Listen, guys, my brain was in top gear, so I came up with some crazy good deductions.
Oh, I can't wait.
I fucking adjusted my tie and everything.
Oh, good.
It's true, we did.
It's true.
Neat trick, considering I don't think you have one.
Oh. Why you gotta ruin the illusion?
This is a pull.
Why you gotta spoil the magic?
It's a clip-on! Dun, dun,
dun. I would never wear a clip-on, you fucking Philistine!
What if you were a cop?
If you don't know me by now!
No.
Alright, anyways.
Yeah, well, you're a fucking Palestine.
So everyone in Japan, or practically the world, knows that Tamari is now Tomb Raider Drive.
Everyone knows that Tamari is Iron Man.
Yep.
Yeah, once again, pulling a very...
That was maybe a Polak joke. How dare you?
Was it? I have no idea.
I wasn't sure if it was a Polak joke or a joke on his name. I wasn't quite sure.
Mostly the latter.
Just to be clear, that's the actual term, not a racial slur, so don't get all SJW all up in our pieces. It's okay.
Take that from the Polish guy in the room.
I'm Polish. It's okay. I'm a Polak. It's fine. Don't worry. Fine.
And here I was talking about melting Nazis before, and we got a German in the room, too.
You fucking kraut.
Don't get
what
sour.
What even is this car? Drive, am I right? Oh, boy, this got hot quick.
So, even though Tamari is revealed as the big hero, and he defeated the monster, and, of course, First Division Captain Nera is still an unbearable asshole.
Because he was totally obviously working for the bad guys, even at the beginning of the fucking episode!
We don't know that yet!
Yes, we did!
Spoiler alert!
The moment they said there's a mole in the department, I was like, it's
the
dick.
It's the asshole.
Oh, yeah,
it's
for
the
sure.
One guy who's been unrealistically fucking crazy evil the entire time. My god, the subtlety!
And here I thought it was Q-chan.
This guy...
Why you gotta remind me of the James Bond joke?
Alright, I'm sorry to quickly interrupt for 1 second. This is very, mind-blowing again. So, recently me and Sel discovered that in Daredevil, one of the, villains in the show is played by the guy who played the White Rhino Ranger, Jungle Fury. So apparently, Nobu... played one of Dex's friends in Master Rider.
Jesus!
So we have two villains from Daredevil that were also in a Saban production. That's amazing!
Yeah. Well, they had to pull them from somewhere.
Wow! I wonder if Madame Gao is from something, too.
She's like the original
from
Rita.
Wild Force.
Just watch the
original... Madame Gao is from Wild Force.
You know what? I'll look
just
that
watch,
up.
Just watch. The original Rita is like a really, really, really high-end prosecutor later on in the show that's like taking on Matt Murdock. And she's all like, I will destroy Daredevil with my petty patrollers and my incredibly harsh cross-examination.
Just walks in the room. After 10,000 years, I'm free! It's time to litigate!
No, she goes up to her client. She's like, after 10,000 years, you're healing! So, it's time for me to get you on parole!
So how about that drive, everybody?
Yeah, that's right.
Wow, these tangents.
Oh, man. So, fucking, he drops a bomb that apparently there's some big secret behind Tamari's dad's death, who, up until this point, has gone... Up until last episode, actually, has been completely unnoticed, unmentioned.
Oh, no. That thing that hasn't been mentioned until very recently, which is halfway through the show.
Possibly have foreseen this.
Anyways, so the first Tokujo branch meeting with all of its staff, including... The shift cars flying all the fuck around.
Yeah, literally, they fly onto a desk all, and it's literally just the shot saying, have you gotten all these yet? Have you collected them all? Collect them all!
Because when they said with all the staff, they meant the shift cars, too.
Yeah, no, it's, yeah.
Because the shift cars are... because the shift cars are people, too.
Shift cars are people!
Well, they've already shown themselves to be sentient.
I remember we talked about that theory.
And then they put fucking belts on a goddamn Daruma.
Yeah. Hey,
like,
you know what?
Why?
If Belt can be a person put into a machine, so can the shift cars.
For all we know, those were all dead cops in there.
Yes.
Wouldn't that just turn
the... This just became the best show ever.
Shift speed is actually his father.
Oh, that, God. No. The type cars we've established are the vessels through which he speaks.
No.
His dad's Justice Hunter.
No. Type high speed... Is his friend who was only crippled in the line of duty, but they killed him anyway just to make type high speed.
Did you watch the episode?
Yes.
So you know that
it's... Headcanon!
Okay.
Quiet.
So the meeting happens and blah blah blah, whatever. So Go is still
moving on.
Go is still really salty that Chase is now a good guy. So salty, in fact, that he decides to kick the ride chaser in frustration as if it will do any good. I thought that was funny.
That was funny.
So, of course, immediately over on the other side, we see that Rena is modifying the other mock belt with the piece of Machine Chaser's armor. Gee, I wonder where that's going. So, we then get a shot of Tamari and Kirigo meeting Chase in his random hangout in the woods. And Tamari is actually happy that he survived, which is nice. It seems like they're probably going to get to be friends, maybe?
Maybe friends in the...
And then he broke his arm.
And then he gets his arm smashed in by Chase in a weird fit of, I don't know who I'm fighting for!
Why must I be so angsty?
I don't know who I'm fighting for, but hurts my friend, I think.
He's having a...
Don't kill him.
No, he's having... Yes, you're right. He's having a moment in which he's programmed to protect something. On one hand, his inherent program tells him to protect humans. On the other hand, his prevalent program tells him to protect roid mutes, but all he sees is a friend being attacked by another friend, and so all he does is break up the fight. He
doesn't break rather violently up. By busting Shinosuke's arm. But
no, it was super sad to
but
see.
Once again, that was the point. It's he saw his friend, and Heart is his friend.
Yes, because
Heart
honestly,
flat out considers him
Heart's,
his friend.
Heart's not a bad guy.
No, he's not.
I love Heart as a character.
Oh, I love Heart
Heart's
too.
So cool.
Just, I came here to change your mind and or to take you back with me,
but honestly,
I'm not going
to
do that anymore.
I'm going to give you the choice. He gave him the choice.
Yeah.
He said, "Oh, are you actually thinking about the other thing?" Oh, well, okay, you know what, I really like you, so I'm gonna be the bigger person here and just, you know what, develop the way you need to develop.
Not only that, but he gives him back the prototype speed shifter.
Yeah, yeah.
Which would be his only way to track him.
Yeah, exactly, like this thing that allows him to know whenever Proto Drive is around, and he's just like, that's an unfair advantage. Here, take it back, and you know what, do your best, and we'll see where this goes.
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
So, Tamari goes berserk because they talk about Roymude 001, who's apparently the creator of the Neo-Viral Cores.
And the Moriarty of Roymude.
And something to do with his father's death.
Of course.
The Napoleon of transforming
as
robot.
Heart hinted
right.
at.
Yeah. We also confirmed that Heart is Roymude 002 and Brain is number 3.
Yep.
We now understand the hierarchy of Roymudes.
Yeah.
As it were.
And, of course, because he's facing Heart, Drive has to go right to Dead Heat, even though he doesn't yet quite have as much control of the Dead Zone as
yes,
Mach does.
Yes, but the point is Dead Heat's literally just matching Heart's power, therefore...
Even though he has something
Dead
that
Heat...
is probably superior.
Well, no, but, yeah, here's the thing. Dead Heat, he's used against Heart, and he doesn't understand the full idea of the specs behind all of the shift cars. It's just...
Shift cards.
Shift cards, that'd be so awesome. But at the same time, he knows that if you use Dead Heat against Heart, it stands a chance.
Yeah.
And so he basically said, okay, I used Dead Heat before, I stood a chance and used Dead Heat
I'm
again.
I'm going to use Dead Heat because I'm literally using his own power against him.
It's Jimbo Lemon.
Correct.
It's an opponent he has deemed strong enough to go, there's no way in hell I can base form this.
Yeah, absolutely.
And just like, goes right into Jimba.
But type like, what's yeah. it called is too strenuous for him. What's the
formula?
Yeah, type formula. Type
no, not so much.
I would say
like.
He's
does
getting
he,
a hold of
he's
type
getting
formula.
A pretty good. Like Belt even told him, said a couple episodes ago when Mach, actually last week's episode, that Shinosuke was getting the hang of it because of his desire
does
to help
formula,
his friends.
Does formula have any drawbacks?
It's if he uses
it
the
heat
sots. It breaks
down really easily, but now they can fix that.
Oh,
yeah,
so it's a high.
The, yeah,
it's
the,
just
the
like
high
any
high maintenance.
It's a high performance car. It's yeah. I perform really, really hard, so I.
It's
so
a Formula One racer.
There's a lot of wear, there's a lot of wear and tear, so there's a lot of attention to be had.
Yeah.
But maintaining.
Now they have a
I'm
shift
good.
Car that's literally just for that.
Yeah, the pit crew.
Yeah. So as we mentioned, Chase breaks up the fight by actually seriously injuring Tamari.
Can I just say something right now? I like the fact that his Roidmude form, I mean, like, you know, Chaser. Like, you know, the
you mean Machine Chaser?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the in-between form for his thing. It has to go to Chaser, and then it explodes into new form.
He cast off.
Oh, you're talking about when he henchens into Comrade Chaser. Yeah. Well, yeah, we'll talk about that.
We'll talk about that.
So,
spoilers.
Yeah.
Spoilers from the own
spoilers! He's a rider!
we haven't been debating this for weeks.
I know, right?
Yeah. So, of course, Nira sees Tamari injured and is delighted!
I fucking hate him.
And at that point, another mention of his dead dad is made, and we find out that his name is Tamari Aisuke, which is interesting. I think that's a cool name.
Can I just say
I think it's silly because his father's name sounds way too much like his.
I think that's the point.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah.
You know how fathers like to give their sons their own name? This is pretty similar to that.
Considering my grandfather? Yeah.
My dad never gave me his name. I got my grandfather's and my uncle's name.
My grandfather named two of his kids after himself and then wanted to name me after him.
My middle name is my dad's first name. So.
I was supposed to be John. Jonathan was a compromise for my brother.
Your father's a creative man.
I know, right? anyways.
Chris is so creative.
Yeah.
was the joke!
Oh, thanks.
Hey, we'll just call him Chris.
I feel so loved.
You're Christabel.
Oh, there you go.
I can't call him by his real name or he'll feel weird about it.
Yeah, it's awkward. Anyway.
I have to do it too much at work.
Yeah.
Grass.
Calling you Evan is no cakewalk either.
I go between Raven and Evan.
I know. I respond to both about as evenly.
Never Raven.
Anyways.
I'm just an adult, so I use real names, thank you very much.
What's an adult?
Real names are boring.
What's the motive?
That's I think. Yeah.
Just talk about the rabbits, Lane.
Yeah.
Okay. The rabbits.
So, Roidmude 007 survives because James Bond will live forever.
Until the end of the episode.
Yeah, and he goes looking for the same criminal instead of maybe finding someone who will, you know, say
no!
Better.
I liked when, like, he's like, oh, I found you! Like, and he's just like, yeah, I've been waiting for you to come back to me. And he's like, alright, friend, let's fucking do it. And he just fucking goes right into it.
I loved what we did together! No, I can't live without you!
But I liked bro. That he developed, like, a sort of, like, partnership and slash friendship.
Guys,
it was great.
Again,
slash friendship.
Guys, again, red with black undertones and blade motif. It's Carnage.
It really is.
I'm saying this right now. Kamen Rider Drive is red. He's fast. He's strong. He's wisecracking. He's a lot like Spider-Man. And also, in Japan, Spider-Man has a car.
Then what the fuck is Mach?
Evil Knievel.
Speed Racer!
Yeah, we've discussed that.
Like,
yeah.
You know, it really is true. Like, Drive seems to have a very... Like, a lot of tones of, like, Marvel going on.
A lot of Western influences. Evil Knievel. Speed Racer got a dub.
Scar
like,
Ranger.
Mach Gogo. That has nothing to do with anything right now. We'll get to that. Don't jump the gun.
It's not getting exciting yet.
At any rate. Yes, woo! Drive has a lot of Western influences. And yes, a lot of Marvel Comics nods. And just comic nods in general. I mean, are you trying to... Look at Chase's outfit. Look at the fact that he's got a freaking skull ring. Look at the fact that he's wearing fucking purple. He's the goddamn Phantom, guys.
The Phantom.
They're based on comic book superheroes in the middle of a freaking city. One takes pictures for a living, and one's a goddamn cop. They're superheroes. They're Western superheroes.
Bring me pictures of Kamen Rider.
Bring me pictures of Drive.
Anyways, where the fuck were we? Right, so, as all this nonsense is happening, there's this hilarious shot of Chase in his random hangout in the woods, as the ride chaser, completely unmanned, just drives over to him, carrying a box of Rina's latest completed project. Gee, I wonder what that is. Suspense, suspense.
Oh, no.
Oh, man, what am I gonna do with this extra... belt I've got lying around now.
This extra rider belt with which I could create an entirely
I made
new
it
rider.
So much stronger, but Code doesn't want it now. I guess I'll give it to this guy.
Give it to some random dude.
Well, only because Kiriko asked her to modify it.
No, I know.
You know what's really interesting? The fact that, and this is really neat, Chase was Proto Drive, right? He calls him Proto Zero. It's proven.
Yeah. Well, it's...
He started...
One and the other are not related. It's just that he was Roid Mude Prototype Zero, who was then chosen to be Kamen Rider Proto Drive.
At any rate, let us simply assume that Chaser is Proto Drive.
Which we know is a fact.
Yes. Exactly.
Let us assume the fact.
It's interesting that the whole thing started with a Roid Mude. The fact that the drive system was first tested on a Roid Mude. Let's think about it that way. Let's think about it this for a second. We know that Roid Mudes were made by humans. Has it been proven that Steinbelt is the one who made them?
I believe he mentioned it was someone else. He flat out
said it was a colleague of his who he shared the power source for the shift cards.
The core Driviers.
Because it was the last key he needed to help complete his invention.
Yes, yes, yes. At any rate, the drive system was tested on a Roid Mude.
As an afterthought. Because
we
the still Roid
have
Mude,
a whole story on that.
It, from what it seems like, Steinbelt was working with his colleague. His colleague created the Roid Mudes, but needed something to power them, so he borrowed the shift car's power source from Steinbelt. Roid Mudes went on a rampage, killed Steinbelt. Steinbelt transferred himself into the belt, and then started making the drive system because he knew the Roid Mudes were up to something.
It's Mega Man!
Yes, it is!
Oh my
god!
Heart is Dr. Wally?
Dr. Wally.
No, brain is Dr. Wally!
Something of that effect!
Somebody here is Dr. Wally.
Can we just talk for a minute about how Heart's probably the one who gave him the name Chase?
Probably.
But where is Brain?
That's a good question.
Because if Belt's consistently calling him Proto Zero, that means he never gave him that name.
You know what's funny?
We also have to remember that Belt-san is an asshole.
Yes. The fact that, like, there's a moment in this Oh, no, that's later. No, we have to talk about that later. So, but Belt-san is an asshole. Yes, you're right.
So we cut back to the fight in the garage where the sword Roid Mude proceeds to almost kill Neera, completely outclass Mach, and almost fucking skewer Kiriko from the sky.
Yeah, literally just, like, knocks her off the platform. He's just like, Kakuma!
I was like, Jesus, that's dark.
And then just Tamara just going, Kiriko! Like he fucking did the girly time drive movie.
With his extremely girly scream.
Yeah, that
was perfect. Who did that? That
was so perfect. I didn't tell which direction it came.
And then
from.
Jace drives
Jace?
In. Yeah, Chase.
So you said
in.
Jace.
I said Chase.
What is this, Dragon Ball?
No.
Bata!
I love Jace though. Anyways, Chase drives in on his bike,
tackles the sword, dude.
The fucker, and then grabs Kiriko. Then he's just holding her, looking at her while the water falls down, right scene. See where he saved his prototype.
While the sword Roid Mude was fighting Mach, he cut open like a water line.
Yeah, I saw that. That was just like, no.
That entire scene was actually. I like the lead up to that scene where he gets under her to impale her, like, oh no, it's so slow. And then just Chase rides. And he's holding her in his arms.
Holding her in the rain,
I know it
like
was,
the previous time.
I knew it was
because...
a callback, but at the same time, I'm just like, this is like 40-year-old housewife fan fiction right
now.
Now
kiss her upside down.
This is like soap opera bullshit.
Now kiss her upside down.
Just like expecting him to go like, the rain is like my emotions. It flows everywhere. For you.
No.
Nah, Chase has about as much emotion as Edward.
There it is, yeah. Ooh. And he just, and like, she's just looking at him
and
like.
And twice as interesting.
And he's just, and she's just looking at
and
him like,
great.
I want to have sex with you really bad right now. And he just is looking at her like, oh God, don't make it gay.
No, he's looking at her
I
like,
don't have a penis.
No, he's
what?
Looking
Rina,
at
Rina, build one!
No, he's standing with her in the rain and he's looking at her like liquid.
Why have I never thought to do that?
No, he's looking at her like liquid pools really attractively on your...
If you
shut the fuck up! He's looking at her like liquid pools really attractively on your face.
Anyways, as I was trying to say, if we learned anything from episode one is that Roid Mudes can, you know, steal parts from other humans. So he could just go find the most sexually active man on the planet... and replicate his penis, and there you go. No, he'll go to town.
I'd like to imagine Chase just walks over to Tamari. Bro, I gotta sample you for a minute. Taps him on the shoulder. You just feel him tense up a bit. All right, I'm good. Thanks.
I love the idea that in your universe, fucking Chase would say, bro, I got to sample.
Bro, come on, man.
Yeah, just he just goes up to him.
But can he?
No.
I don't know.
This will be amazing. No. Like, okay, no. You know,
go. Honest question. I'll let him finish first, but I'll say that.
You know how Go calls, like, him Shinichan?
Yeah.
It's just, you see, like, Chase notice that. He's just like, Shinichan. Shinny-san.
Is that what I will refer to you as?
That'd be amazing. He just tries to be the new Go, and Go's just like,
Well, based on next episode, we know he's getting pretty salty.
Yeah, we've seen scans. Fucking, like, Mach apparently is just really, really pissed off and being a little shit and tries to, like, literally fight Drive and Chase at the same time.
We'll just saying, Kamen Rider Chase is emo Mach.
Chaser, but yeah.
Chaser. Fuck ever.
His name is Chase. His form is Chaser.
That's really
silly. We've been over this.
It's really silly. And also, he's emo Mach.
Guess so. Yeah.
Anyway, speaking of Chaser, he pulls the belt out of the box and
ruins it, by the way, because you just see all this water, like, falling on it. I'm like, no, you ruined it.
I just like how Kiriko's explaining, yeah, we had Rina made this for you so you could start over as a Kamen Rider and this and this and that. And he's not even listening. He's just putting on the belt. Fuck you, I'm going to do a thing.
What I didn't like was, for the first time they did henshin, there was no prolonged sounds.
Yeah.
Like chimes and stuff.
Which we know are a thing in the belt, because in the review of the belt, when you put the Chaser bike in, there's a different sound to the standby.
No, absolutely, which is why I was just kind of like, it's weird that they wouldn't have showcased that.
Especially
first,
since this is arguably what we've built up towards the whole show.
Exactly, just buy the toy, here, makes a noise.
You probably already have, here's maybe a different sound.
But they just fucking, whip, whoop, I'm a Kamen Rider. And, oh, okay.
So he henshins into Kamen Rider
like,
Chaser.
I ain't a showy son of a bitch like the other one.
Yeah. So he henshins into Kamen Rider Chaser, and I don't know if this is going to be every time, but this time at least, he transforms, and for a second he's Machine Chaser, even though you see the wheel thing pop on the front, and then after a second it like casts off into the Kamen Rider Chaser form.
I liked that.
I'd be okay with if this was the only time that happens. Like, it was just like,
it was just a one-off. This was my form. Now here's my new one.
This is me being reborn.
I am reborn.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I gotta say,
into the white Blast the Beetle Boy!
No.
Oh, God.
No.
Fuck not you. Again!
Let's not
How
do that!
Dare you!
He's got similar design
the
concepts!
The white!
After Sunday, let's not go there.
The white, go fuck yourself, Beetle Boy.
I just gotta say, like, I've been very vocal about how I do not really like the designs of these riders, mostly because of the tire. But I gotta say, I really like Chase.
This is because the only tire autumn's on his back.
Yeah, and it's like, and it doesn't even look like a real. See, look, I'd be more okay, like I said, with, like, you know, the main one's tire. It was more just like, didn't look like it was literally, hey, throw this on. Like, he just picked it up. And see, like, Chase's, like, the one on his back looks, what's the word? Functional. But that's just me. I like this one.
It
more
has
than,
a function.
They all function.
It's a shield.
No. I mean, but, like, the other ones look stupid. The other one, the tires that run diagonally across the chest around the neck.
Here's
are stupid.
Okay, here's
Type
the thing.
Wild is the dumbest, I think.
Yeah. Okay.
No,
I understand where you're coming from.
You.
I understand where you're coming from. There are a certain percentage of people, in fact, it's kind of a 50-50 split, of whom we got over it. And honestly, I don't fucking think it looks so bad.
I said before, it's totally an aesthetic thing. It's like music. It's just, that's how I feel. And if you feel like you like it, that's fine.
Yeah. Honestly, I just from a just rule of aesthetics and stuff like that, it looks, I look at it and I'm just like, it makes sense. It's not what I would have done, but at the same time, it doesn't ruin it for me or anything. I think.
How about later in the special when you saw what it looked like without the tire and it looked 1,000 times better?
No, it did look 1,000 times better. I'll admit to that. I'm not saying it wouldn't look better without it. I'm just saying it's not all that bad.
See, I just can't get that myself.
The
but,
thing is,
but I do love
this
the Chase.
This far in, I've kind of resigned to the tires being there. But
if it were me, I have little mini tires around the wrists and ankles.
See, that's neat.
That's what Type Formula did.
Ooh, right, you're right.
Yeah. Anyway, but I think it's a cool looking suit and just, yeah. I like it.
Yeah. So the reason Chaser's got the wheel on the back is so he can use the Machine Chaser Vital Core still, which I hope he actually uses them in the belt. Even though we know he still has the
brake
on it.
Yeah, we also went into a whole theory about that hope that, like, I went into that now that, like, Drive will have type Trider on, like, and he also has Formula right now. He has no need for Dead Heat, and hopefully, I really hope Mach gets his own, like, super form soon.
If he does, we'll hear about it
then
soon.
He won't need to use Dead Heat anymore, so, Chaser, he can have Dead Heat.
I'd actually be really curious to see a Chaser Dead Heat, because Dead Heat is very clearly Drive X Mach.
I really hope so.
Yeah, anyways, so, Kamen Rider Chaser happens, and just immediately, they've already finished his new weapon. The signal axe.
The shingle axe.
The shingo axe. Just flies the fuck out of the bike.
Like, fuck your track, mental control. For me.
At first glance, I thought it was really cool by design, and then when I watched it...
Function,
I was like, that's absurd.
Yeah.
Oh, of course.
Welcome to Rena.
Not even the Serious Face Rider is immune to Drive's silliness in its weapon design.
Yeah, because he's about
like,
to go, and he just goes, Materayo! And
hold
he's like,
on.
Huh?
I should point out that the little bit on the left of the signal says Rider only for some reason.
Yeah, so sticks into the ground, just uses his brake gunner to fight the fucking monster.
No, I like that. He just, Serious Face Rider looks at the axe trying to tell him to hold on. While he's in the middle of his CSS,
The weapon's charging up.
And so he's just
it's really powerful and requires immense charge time.
He has that moment where he's just looking at it like, really?
And then just plants it in the ground and
pulls who gives
a
shit?
No!
Realistic
reaction. Fuck this shit. Plants it in the ground, pulls out his bright gunner and just starts
shooting. I'm amazed he actually went to the trouble of just planting it there, not just hucking it somewhere. You are of no use. Get out of my sight.
Because he couldn't just pick it up again and use it.
You know what
would have been really cool?
Chase has more poise than that.
You know what would have been really cool if he did? Toss the fucking thing high up into the air, use the brake gunner, and just
caught it as it was
just
ready.
Catches it on its way down as it's
Can you do that?
That'd be cool.
If I may, you know what would be even cooler than that? If he used that fucking time to beat the shit out of things with it while it charged. It's not as though he can't fucking fight with it. It's just he can't use his goddamn Heesods. If it's going, hold on a minute, I'm charging. Use that time to beat the ever-loving shit out of things.
Oh, you mean with the axe?
Yeah!
Well,
it's still a blunt object.
The argument could be made that if you attack while it's charging, it ruins the finisher.
Then get that shit to Rena and say, fix this shit.
That's the worst weapon ever.
But it's super powerful, so it's got to have some sort of flaw.
I don't care.
Yeah, like a gun that's a door that you have to open and close the door to reload it. Or the handle can where you have to steer the fucking wheel on it to make it do a thing.
Sharpen the blade?
Rena is the worst engineer of all time.
She's just being funny.
No,
anyways,
funny is not help in a fight.
Anyways, Iteo!
So he does the attack, which is a vertical slash and then a horizontal slash, and you'll notice right before he actually does each slash, crossing road lines appear, because the name of the attack is a cross breaker.
You know what would be funny? Someone should take, like, a shot when he does, like, the horizontal one, just shows, like, the cross lines, and then someone just photoshops the Beatles walking across it.
No.
You're a sweet
child. Everyone just gave me that no, Lane. No.
You're a sweet child,
boy.
Wow,
Lane.
But fuck off.
My sweet summer child.
Also, I love that while it's, like, charging up, you just hear this awesome rock theme.
After it goes, Iteo! And he's ready to attack, you hear this jamming standby tune that includes the actual noise made by Japanese crosswalks.
And some over here. It's the same fucking sound.
I am a walrus.
No.
Yes.
So they defeat the monster, and they pulled Taga out of him first. We didn't mention that.
Yeah, Chaser's just like, alright.
He literally just rips the human out of him.
Okay, I'm just going to say this right now because we're kind of skipping around a bit and leaving out a few details. Hart has a few moments in this episode in which, like, he shows up, and Chaser, this is the episode in which he's kind of having that pivotal moment where he's figuring out whether he protects humans or roid mutes. and that's huge in his development, but Hart's there, and he could play, he could be the little devil on Chase's shoulder and just play the Roidmute side the entire time. Like, he's a his Roidmute form looks like a devil, and it's like, he's very suave, he's very charismatic, and he's very indicative of a character who has a lot of power and would be the sort of person who would have a very, very terrible ulterior motive. However, Chase has a moment in this episode in which he can choose between good and evil, and Hart has the ability to tempt him, but what he does is goes, "No, you're my friend, and I'm better than that. And I'm not going to tempt you. I'm going to let you make your own decisions, and whatever you decide, here's your car back."
Son of a wagatomo.
Because he gives him back his original proto-drive shift car.
Which mentioned.
Yes, we mentioned that, but it doesn't make it any less poignant.
No, absolutely.
Hart shows that he is decidedly not the antagonist of this show. In the fact,
especially since we actually meet the antagonist this episode.
Yes, we do. But at the same time, Hart is just for the people. And it's one of those things.
Faux Droid Mutes.
But here's the thing. He's the Roshuo of this show. I always wind up liking the really obscenely powerful, but ambiguous and neutral one.
That's always an interesting thing to see.
And Hart is very much neutral. He's a Roidmute, so he sides obviously with Roidmutes, but you don't feel like he thinks humans are dirty, or you don't think he thinks humans are somehow beneath him or anything like that. He just goes, in our brief existence, humans have not accepted Roidmutes, sort of thing. And so,
except
enemy.
Jesus is your Lord.
Well, the thing is, we still don't entirely know what the Roidmute's master objective is.
But we will see that eventually. What happens?
So, the Chaser defeats the Roidmute. They arrest Taga. Everyone goes home happy. And while Chaser's driving off, you see Go just standing on the sidelines.
He's not happy.
Mashes the button on his belt because he's angry.
Very pissed.
Goes petty.
Oh, absolutely.
No, he's an immature little shit.
Oh, I realized something. I have no idea if this was a direct nod to this or something, but Go tends to wear a shirt that says State of Arizona.
All the time.
Yeah.
Different shirts that say the same thing.
See, here's my thing. If you don't know this, Arizona is a very big car state. Like, they have, in Arizona is where they usually hold the Barrett Jackson automobile auction.
Oh, I forgot about that!
Yeah. I wonder if that's a nod to that.
I think he mostly wears those shirts just because
there's
they all
a lot
say
of
go.
Car factories in that
Arizona
state.
is a known car thing.
Yeah,
that's been going on. So I don't know if that was intentional, but just, you know, Arizona
well,
is so
Japan's
random.
Japan's known for that. They're good at like hiding little references and shit.
Barrett Jackson automobile. It's so goddamn dry here.
They sold Batmobiles there.
Yes, they did. So then where we go from there?
So then we find that Nira, our snickety little bastard, apparently actually reports to the king of the Roidmutes.
Well,
001.
Who could have surmised?
And lo and behold, 001 is the head of the National Defense Force or something like that of Japan.
Yeah. Shinei Shoichi,
who I firmly believe is Shinosuke's father.
I don't think
no,
he
we
is,
saw
think
the
no.
corpse of his father.
Oh, yeah, we saw the corpse.
Did we see his corpse?
Yes.
Yeah.
We found out that 001 is responsible for the death of his father.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Is what they said.
Okay. I didn't remember that.
Yeah, we saw him at a, like crying at his dad's funeral and like he's on top of the
Check
corpse.
It.
Oh, okay.
His human form is his dad.
Oh!
That's what I'm trying to say!
Yeah.
That's what I was trying to say.
Not really, because I think people would have noticed if the dead man was the fucking Secretary of Defense.
Also, Nira definitely would have made a comment about it.
Also
Thank
that.
You, I'm sorry. That's very, very true.
Also
yes,
that.
The point of it is, he might have copied Shinosuke's dad initially.
Oh. Oh, here's a rebuttal to that. Mm-hmm. Who's to say that that's the face that he uses while he's the Secretary of Defense?
Fair.
Hey, we don't know what kind of ability
we'll know
has.
Next time.
For all we know, yeah, maybe Shinosuke's dad was one of the first people he killed.
Yeah, so he just uses it for his usual
next time
face.
On Drive, Mach is a little shit and tries to attack Chaser.
But before we finish up, there was this one shot where Nero walks out of the room after talking to Shoichi, and just out of the shadows, Brain slinks in and
like,
ah!
It caught me by surprise. I was like,
That was funny. Shuriken Sentai! So yes, next week, Mach versus Chaser and Drive.
Oh, and who will win?
Supposedly, the fight that's happening next week is the fight that was being filmed when we first saw that spy shot of Chaser.
Neat. Mm.
So yeah, that'll be cool. Moving on! Ninja Major Episode 8, a.k.a. the episode where Fuka reveals she's Sailor Moon.
If I may, I knew there was something about Fuka that I liked. She is a far more well-developed character than me.
I love Fuka.
What?
May I go off on...
Are we in Bizarro World? Are people interested in Fuka?
We actually got... Here's the thing. We actually got the frigging Shiro Ninja episode that they haven't given us the last few
years. Here's the thing. Here's the thing. It all makes sense. There's the reason why she's the incompetent one. Because she's the one... didn't give a fuck about being a ninja.
She's the closest to being
until
normal.
We found out later that her childhood self actually wanted to be a ninja.
So, okay, sorry, guys.
Oh, whatever.
May I go off on a tangent, though, about
yes.
this?
We tend
go
to.
Ahead.
Okay.
Go
ahead. Let me say. This is, now, it didn't get too deep into this one. It just sort of reminded me of a trope I hate. Where you see it mostly in, like, Spider-Man and Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Oh,
where
good.
You got the teenager... who's just like, I wish I had a normal life. And I'm like, fuck you. You can web-sling through the city. Girl, Buffy, guess what? You got all these vampires hanging around. They're killing your schoolmates every other day. The only reason you're not dead is because you have these powers and shit.
Yeah.
So I just hate that trope of, like, teenagers would be like, oh, man, isn't having superpowers a bummer?
Right?
I know.
I hate that trope. Fuck you, Peter Parker.
Selling your fucking marriage.
God. Let's not get into that.
Yeah.
But anyway.
So, in this episode, we discover that Fuka and Nagi also go to high school, and the new semester is starting in April. Okay.
I find the thing over there.
I like the fact that the elder siblings who have been indoctrinated into the whole ninja culture of the family... have just simply resigned themselves to becoming ninjas in the future because becoming a ninja is cool. But there are still ninjas who go, well, what if I want to have a different fucking career?
What if I want a government job?
What if I want to be a doctor?
And then the show turned into a government job ad for a few seconds. It was like, you get good benefits, and the hours are good, and just like, I'm expecting Buddy to turn to the camera and go, get an inter-government job, kids!
Yeah. But don't,
support the cause!
But don't unionize.
Don't unionize, though. We can't handle that.
What I noticed was the fact that, Fuka and Nagi are going off to school. Didn't Kasumi say she was going to still go to college? Why is she not going?
Well, maybe she hasn't applied yet.
Damn. I don't know.
Also because she's the best ninja out of all of them, and therefore is the most competent, and therefore is the least likely to get the education.
Maybe she went to an art college, so there's only 1 hour classes every 2 days.
Well, we know she's a scientist.
Well, you know, considering it's a college, you just have classes on whatever the fuck day they land on.
Well, we know that
she's
studying
science. So
it could
just be her day off during the week.
Well...
all we know is that she's studying some sort of science.
Why are we reading into her
school schedule?
I don't know. We're weird like that.
It's fucking reading week.
Anyways.
Move on.
So, Fuka and Nagi, Nagi is, like, roof jumping with his ninja powers, and Fuka tells him to knock that shit off.
I'm going to be late for school. Why didn't you wake me up?
I tried. You fell back asleep.
I swear to God, all he was missing was a piece of bread hanging out of his mouth.
I know, right?
You fail at being a ninja. You fail at getting up in the morning. Is there anything you're good at, woman?
She got up one time. It was
Nagi.
Yellow
Ranger. The yellow dude who didn't get up.
That's true.
Yeah. No, wait, you're right.
I recede my statement. So then, like, they're going to the school and they're just be like, oh man, wouldn't it be great? But then what happens?
So, because the name is a hilarious, hilarious pun, Nekomata revives using his self-rewinding abilities.
Yeah, and it has, like, a little cat bell that is the alarm.
I mentioned that last week.
He even makes a pun about it, but where I really thought at the beginning what they were going to go with that was the whole cats have nine lives thing.
Which, he mentioned
that. He mentions that, but that's not actually what it is. No, but I thought that was going to be the reason.
I think he had, like, actually five, maybe six lives.
I still love the overall design of this yokai. He looks fucking
awesome. Oh, yeah, I liked it. I thought it was cool. And but yeah,
it kept tricking me, though, because I always was looking at, like, the watch in the center of his, like, body, and I kept thinking that was his actual head, and I'm like, no, he has a cat head on top of his body. I just don't look there.
So... So, I don't know how, but the father gets a report that there's a yokai, but they're Gamagama Jews.
Yeah, Yakumo's just like,
no, you know what it was? It was Grandpa, the Odin cart, somewhere in the middle of the city going, hey, look, that monster's rampaging.
You should
probably get the kids on that.
But the thing is...
I'm just going to stay here and man my cart.
I don't know why the Gamagama Jews don't go off. Do they only detect when there's a new monster?
No. They said the shuriken wasn't in Nekomata anymore.
Oh, right.
Because they took it last episode.
Yeah, so it detects when the ceiling shurikens activate.
Yeah.
That's awfully specific.
Because it's the one homing point that all yokai share.
Except for this episode.
Because he doesn't have it.
Yeah.
Because he's the exception. That's why he's special.
Even Kuemon seemed pretty impressed by that.
Yeah, like, you can exist with a ceiling shuriken? What the fuck?
Must be remnants in your lungs.
Did you notice the name of the episode? Nekomata who leapt through time?
Yes. I didn't even read that.
I did. I knew you'd like that.
I'm going to shoot myself in the head. No.
Oh, no.
Fuck.
Japan!
If there can be an anime called The Girl Who Leapt Through Space, there can be a fucking mess, I guess.
Yeah. So, while the kiddies are off at high school, the grown-ups decide, let's have some ninja training. Let's play fucking hide-and-seek.
Fucking
because okay. Legit.
Yeah.
Takara was like, I'm all heated up! And I'm like, shut up.
You know... I've mentioned it before, but every single time Takaharu goes, Motegita! He looks wholly disinterested in his own mind.
I was just about right? to say that. Just
he looks said it like before, he's...
And I'll say it again. He sounds and looks like he does not believe what he's saying.
It's like, let's go, I guess.
I'm getting all fired up.
Uchikta.
That's my bit. Fuck you.
Just is how I interpret that. If I were to say that in English... Getting all fired up.
And Yakumo's just like, we have no time for child's games. Kasumi's like, no.
Kasumi is actually down for it.
Let's do it.
And Yakumo's like, legit training. We're hiding and concealing ourselves from each other.
Yakumo's like, okay.
Legit ninja training?
I guess. So after school, I guess, Fuka's friends, who she gains somehow, are like, pretty much forced their way over to her house, even though she doesn't want them to find out that she's a ninja.
Because reasons?
So they get to the house or whatever like that, and you just see Takaharu, like, counting, and then he looks over, he's about to go inside to look for them, and he sees, oh, Fuka, you have friends! Yay! Fuka's like, no! Like, he just close up her face, no!
Damn it, he found them!
For fuck's sake! Like, she really doesn't want anyone to see her brother ever.
Super maximum awkwardness conversation mode go. And then they actually go inside the house.
Come inside! Come on! I'm a ninja!
And, all of the things start happening at once. The father comes out with another yokai report.
Did that wall just open up?
And then someone trips over Kasumi hiding on the floor.
Which was actually really cool. I liked seeing that.
The best part, as they're all, like, in confusion, something on the table in the middle of the room starts vibrating. What's going on?
Yakumo's just like, Takaharu, I know they were hiding, but, like, seriously, stop keeping me this long.
Yakumo's been hiding in this little log thing and explodes out of it, completely dusting the two normal girls, but somehow everyone else is still perfectly clean. And I just thought that was the funniest shot ever.
No one else was in the room.
They walked off to the side to have a little chat in private.
Did they?
When he was doing it.
Continuity, whatever.
It worked.
No, and then literally, I loved that it was so cute. Fuka's just like, it's like, nope, you, and you.
Literally
you,
drags
corner,
them
now.
All out.
Yakumo's just like, I don't even, what?
Yeah.
What happened?
And then,
Nekomata starts...
Yeah, it's fucking Takaharu picked up Nekomata's watch in, like, a previous fight or something like that. Accidentally drops it, like an idiot, and
in
then
their,
it
spawns. In their dojo,
yeah,
and it immediately respawns. And it starts searching around the house for the end shuriken.
Yep.
But, of course, it's not there, for reasons. So he decides to try the time portal thing again.
It
goes
there.
Back to 2005.
Grandpa wasn't lying.
Yeah. So he goes back to 2005. And, of course, Takaharu and Fuka, being the fucking idiots they are, decide to follow the strange cat through portals.
Again.
Yeah.
So then they realize that they're back in time, so they go back to their old house that they lived in that
well,
got blown
they,
up in the first episode.
They get dropped out of a portal outside the house.
Yeah.
Because that's how time travel works.
So they
works.
Go up to it, and then they find out that they see their childhood selves, and then they see the yokai coming, whatever, like that.
Off.
And Fuka is just like, the young Fuka is like, pretends to be all like scared and crying and stuff, and then she like, fakes it.
Tears, no jutsu.
Yeah, she's just like fake tears, no jutsu. And she's like, wow, I
just
want to be ninja. And Fuka's like, yeah.
I just thought it was funny that Fuka was like, quick, you kids need to get somewhere safe. Oh shit, wait, the monster's probably inside the house.
The calls are coming from inside the house. Yeah, these kids that make me want to sterilize the human race.
So that like, if
the calls are coming from inside your mouth.
Last episode, the way we're told it works, why did the kid versions of those two not know about the cat in the first place when they were older?
I guess they didn't encounter it.
Hello, think McFly.
The creator of the
last episode flat out told you that fucking happened.
Because that cat went back, that cat was there at that point in
time.
The
very next day.
Great Scott.
The very next day.
Just, my goodness.
My God.
Also, I think there were like 4 or 5. Fuck if they remember that time.
They fucking knew they were ninjas.
Yeah.
So they destroy them, and then they go into Megazord.
Oh,
mode.
Okay.
Hold on.
Sorry. To retort to that, if I saw a big fucking cat monster, I'd remember that shit.
Unless it's just the fact that you're a 4-year-old and then in the future when you're...
Yeah,
ready,
I mean,
fucking
Hurricane
it,
Red
like
and Kaku Red were like, hey, we saw this weird ninja Sentai we've never seen before fucking 10 years ago.
It was this guy.
They made a reference to Aka Ninja when they saw him, so...
Your brother's dead! Yay!
Supposedly! But not really.
No, we saw that shit!
Why you gotta bring along Cloud Jermaine on your end?
But the one thing that made me laugh is when Takaharu is trying to defend the children, he takes this really fucked up protective pose where he's holding his hand out to the side like he's trying to sing Stop in the Name of Love or some shit.
Wow.
Sure. I don't remember that,
Stop
honestly.
In the name of
the ninjas.
So they go back to the present and fight Nekomata again.
Kick its ass.
The best part of that, though, and this made me genuinely laugh, when they bluff the monster on his weak spot.
Yeah.
Where they're just like, well, we know your secret. Wait, we do? Oh no, you figured out that the only way to defeat me is to destroy my clock? The music just stops.
Yeah.
Oh. Shit!
And she's just
and
like,
the expression on both of them, they just... Like, oh, he actually did it! And he finished the book! I can't believe that worked! Good!
No, focus
yes!
Fuck all of you.
Yes, that's my plan of
fuck all y'all!
I just like how... When
I'm
they
right
did,
there with you, Lane.
Yeah.
They,
I was about to call you cheap, but, you know.
When they did the roll call, Fuka takes the center stage. That was cool.
Aww.
Click. So, there's this one moment where, one of them is dual wielding the Ichibanto and the Karakuri Katana. I thought that was cool.
Yeah.
And then Takaharu and Fuka combo up together and do... And they actually call it the Kyodai Ninretsuzan, which means the brothers Ninja Fury Slash... Or siblings Ninja Fury Slash.
That's cool.
And so yeah, the monster grows big and they're gonna fight it again. And then I made a particular notice when they do that, when they pull out the Otomonin Shuriken. If you look at them closely, you can see that only the red and blue ones actually have, like, designs on them, which means that we probably never will actually get Shurikenshin dump Byun or Wan.
No, we won't.
Which makes me sad.
No, what's really weird was, I've noticed this lately, Every time, like, they show the monster grow, it just quickly, like, pans the camera upside down and shows them upside down, and then it's just like, whoa, and then they go back to normal shot.
I thought that was a cool shot, though. I like when they do that. So, of course, because this is a giant cat monster, Wanmaru takes front stage. And
That's so useless right now, is he?
Still pretty useless.
Fuck still you. Pretty goddamn useless.
Yeah. And then when they form the Megazord, Fuka yanks the throne.
Yeah, it's so great seeing Takara. Like, no, it's my chair.
Takara's
just like, get the fuck over there.
But I'm the leader.
No, and then this is what really pissed me off. They destroy the fucking monster, like Nekomata or whatever.
But
like
it doesn't have its watch respawn ability anymore, being giant for some reason.
No, but
I never knew.
But Fuka was about to do like the final thing, like you know, monster destroy.
Some of them still do.
Or it's like something. And fucking Takahashi still steals the spotlight. I'm like, fuck.
He does another stupid pose as he jumps in and steals the last word.
And then what Ichi found really cool was, I don't think I've ever seen this either, is that the Megazord disassembled.
You actually see Shuriken disassemble,
which
and
was
just
cool.
Nice job, everyone. We'll see you next Thursday. And
Sunday.
Then. Yeah.
Then it goes over to Star Ninja.
Star Ninja in on his fucking Zord.
Just being
in the middle of the
city. They the grandchildren of the last ninja. It's getting exciting now.
It's
just poofs. No, poofs. It's Megazord and him gone.
All in English too.
Yeah.
In bad English.
So man, just Star Ninja on his Zord. In the middle of the fucking city in plain
and
fucking
nobody
sight.
Nobody saw him.
Man, he's a better ninja than they are.
Star Ninja!
He's a Kiribur.
Managed to fucking hide in plain sight.
On a fucking bison buggy.
On a giant goddamn bison zord.
Maybe he was stealthier
than the ninja.
Maybe he was hiding in a building.
Kamen Rider Star Ninja is. Kamen Rider Star Ninja. I did it! Star Ninja is Kellum.
Can we call this week's episode Kamen Rider Star Ninja?
No.
Please?
We have three possible names.
Kellum from Fire Emblem, you fucker.
Holy shit.
What?
I forgot about that. The theory that Kellum is 2D.
Is that a thing?
That's the going theory.
It has to be a thing.
Okay.
It's somehow when he turns to the side, he vanishes.
Oh.
He's two-dimensional.
So he's Kate Moss.
Oh.
So,
oh, there's a window.
So the episode...
Why don't we,
of course, Fuka's friends think that her being a ninja is super kill. So they're okay with, I guess, keeping her secret, or they're gonna make.
So they're like,
all right,
let's ninja jump.
We're gonna be late. So each of them scoops up a girl and just roof jumps their way to school.
Then it ends on a freeze frame, and I'm just thinking, everywhere you go,
I know,
everywhere
right?
You are.
It's funny because they're remaking that show.
Now the world don't move to the beat, just one drum.
Oh god.
And I'd just like to close this episode by saying that Takaharu exploding into a firework is still funny as hell.
Yes.
I love that dance. I've memorized it.
So next week, apparently the proper Star Ninja debut episode is going to be focusing on Yakumo trying to steal the Enshuriken from his own mother. Why the fuck is the Star Ninja debut episode focused on not Star Ninja?
No,
that's not how
that
you
yet.
Do this!
No, but the,
because
see,
we don't know that yet.
Yeah, see... No, this is weird, though. We didn't see him in his human form. We just saw him as Star Ninja,
so
he's not revealing himself yet.
Oh,
this is like
the episode where he just shows up in the middle of the fight.
Is that what we're doing?
So this is like
show
Meteor
up in
levels.
Form
yeah,
for
so,
a few episodes?
Yeah, so this is what like they did with Meteor, where you just saw Meteor for the first little bit, and then we saw
Grandpa, him. Is that you?
I fucking wish it was the grandpa. That would have been amazing.
No,
the grandpa.
Because he only shows up in his ranger form for the next couple episodes. Just watch. He makes them think he's their grandfather.
No, the grandfather has to be Kuro Ninja. That would be amazing.
I need a ringtone of just him going, it's so exciting now. I need that as a ringtone.
It's just like a notification every time I get an email. It's getting exciting now.
Woo!
Wow. Meds you guys could be on.
Yeah,
like,
the grandchildren of the ninja.
I could be on.
I need to have that forever.
Okay, so that's the episodes. And now we're going to talk about the Type High Speed Special.
Let us start our engine.
So we get the first shot confirms that this is indeed the series Hyper Battle DVD. And we start off by seeing...
Apparently Keith someone's been smuggling fake Telebikun magazines.
Not Telebikun.
Oh no! The poor children.
Tebirekun.
Tevile.
Tebirekun.
Shonen ripoffs. Let's move on.
Which prominently features Shadow Moon.
Yeah, Paul was saying that he wants a fucking Shadow Moon, like Adventure
Shadow.
Well,
yeah,
oh,
it's Tebire. Tevile is the,
I know.
The text
they
translation.
Mixed, they switched the last two letters.
Yeah, I know. I got it. So, it's got fucking doodles of Shadow Moon all over inside
it. Adventures of Shadow Moon!
I like how it takes him at least 4 pages to realize, this is a fake!
It's amazing.
Yeah, Q's face
is... It's amazing
just,
the one person who really wanted to talk about this is now asleep.
Hey, Paul?
Hey, Paul? Adventures of Shadow Moon?
You never nod off, eh?
Shall we drive?
Adventures of Shadow Moon? Do you want that?
Yes.
Tebirekun? Yeah, he does.
Yes.
Paul's a tired little bear.
Yeah, he is.
The little lamb.
He needs the tired Kokan.
The will wham. The tired wham.
Tired Kokan.
So, we
tired Kokan!
That's what I said.
Bing!
That's three of us now.
Yeah. Just the tire hits him in the head and knocks him out.
No, seriously.
So. That's the name of this episode, Tired Kokan.
We get introduced to Roy Newt 027, who's got rainbow-colored spider legs and the ability to copy things. So he's been counterfeiting issues of the Terabikun magazine into Tebirekun and giving it, not giving it, but selling it in en masse to the public, as well as just committing all kinds of public crimes. So he fights him the first, Drive fights him the first time, and you see, we get another shot of Beltsan riding in on the shift car's highway, which I always enjoy. And then, as the fight happens, the Roy Newt's like, I can't let you interfere with my work. See ya! Immediately turns and runs.
The Roy Newt in this was hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
He was very
so
funny.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah, he was.
Seeing as he immediately, during the next fight scene, copies the Drive driver and actually henshins, and he starts by saying, start my engine.
Can I just... Tomokazu Seki, ladies and gentlemen.
That is him? I thought so. That's amazing.
At the beginning, he was doing a weird voice, and I thought it was freaking Momotaro's. And then as the episode progressed, I was like, wait, no.
Yeah. He does sound like him, though.
That's a Seki.
Just for 1 second, I just want to, for 2 seconds, because I'm sorry, guys. I've been going to bed at, like, 11:30 midnight every single night, and I'm really, really tired right now.
That's okay.
I'm trying to stay up right now, but I think I need to step outside for a few minutes.
Go ahead, man.
Go on out and cuddle with Jay.
Dave, cut this part out.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, no, he's not there. Okay. I thought I heard him go up the stairs for that
me
purpose.
Too.
So you and me are thinking the same thing. Oh, Jay's already in the bed, probably. Just go snuggle with Jay. No, not there.
I'm just saying, maybe wearing the 4 layers of clothes and drinking heavily wasn't helping.
Probably.
You think. And so as they fight, as Drive fights the fake Drive, he starts pulling out his weapons, including the door gun, which is a water gun.
Yeah.
So he can copy the appearance, but he can't copy the abilities.
No, but the best part was, like, Drive fights him with multiple tires, and then he's like, oh, I need to use Max Flare. Literally, fucking fake Drive just pushes him out of the way and steals the tire instead. Then we Drive...
No, hold on. So when that happens, my immediate comment was, don't the tires, like, try and knock the monsters when they fly off sometimes? Why didn't that happen?
I don't know. But then we continue to see Drive fighting without the tire, and...
That was awesome.
That was, but honestly, I've been so used to him being, with the tire, I'm okay with it now.
Oh yeah, like I said, we've all kind of resigned to it.
Still seeing
not
him
me, I
still,
loved it when that tire came off.
Oh yeah, for
still
sure.
Still seeing him from the side is weird, but I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
So then Mock shows up, and he's being a... stupid, and
he immediately
like,
believes that the fake one is the real one, and
he's the one with the tire.
Ryder kicks
right
Shinosuke, and then Shinosuke comes out to Henshin, he's like,
go, you fucking idiot!
He's the one with the 27 written on his forehead.
But that's just it. I saw the thing where it's like, they made it as simple as the Roy Mute number is on his forehead, And my immediate thought was,
also the voices are different.
Come on, Go's not that dumb.
I know.
You'd think.
And then he was.
Go's an asshole, but he's not stupid.
But that's what I mean. That was a terrible way to write that character because, like, yes, he's hot-headed. Yes, he kind of, I think you're wrong, I'm going to do it my way anyway. But he's not stupid.
Immensely disrespectful to a character I hated anyways.
Okay.
Yeah. So, apparently that Ryder kicked really fucked up Shinosuke's back. And at that point, we get to see all the different crimes that the Roy Mutant is committing while acting as Drive. Including, oh no, walking while texting!
Oh
no! When I noticed throughout the special,
next
though,
is jaywalking. Slippery slope.
Now, what I noticed throughout most of the special was that freaking Max Fly was just like, he's feeling sad.
Because it's partially his fault for getting Drive defeated.
Anyways, we should wrap this up quickly because it's really late.
Yeah. So, to combat the copy, they make one hell of a logic leap. So, what would be better than a copy? The original. Being the original implies high class. What would imply high class? A luxury car. Let's make a luxury car shift car.
They made a chrome Triteron, and I wish they kept it, but nope, they just scanned it.
I was just amazed that we actually see the process by which Rena makes shift cars in this episode.
Yeah, that was cool.
So we see the Triteron actually go chrome for a minute.
My favorite aspect of the whole thing, though, was, like, she's wearing safety goggles.
Yeah.
She's the only one not looking at the process.
Yeah.
Everyone else is looking. They're not wearing the jack shit. What the hell?
Yeah, whatever. So she chimes off all these statistics that high speed is going to improve. And then you watch the chrome from the actual Triadon just, like, siphon off and color the actual shift car chrome.
It was really cool.
It was really cool. So we cut
Fake Drive is going selling fake magazines to kids.
15 per person.
And then Shinosuke drives in with Kiriko as, like, his butler.
Kiriko drives Shinosuke in a fancy car, I guess, and comes out as a butler, mustache and all, and announces that, "You people are fucking idiots! Those are fakes!"
Basically. "You people are numpties!
You are nincompoops!"
"Goodness gracious, she's right!"
"How could we have not have seen
the drawn by like, children?"
He's just like, "No, tell him he could."
So Shinosuke comes out in a sparkling silver suit.
Oh, it was great.
And Paul was just like going, "Oh," at this.
You know, when we first heard about this special, what I had heard was that since the other forms required emotional states, that high speed required being a gentleman. There was really no mention of that requirement. He kind of just did it because he felt like it.
Because hyper battle video.
Yeah. So he's all formal and snazzy, and he's like, "I'll show you Drive's real power." And even the belt is doing like a slowed down version of the standby charm.
Start your engine.
Yeah. Damn. So
he, well, like, he kisses the ship car. He's like,
kisses it, fancily flicks it over, and then, boom, and
like a sir.
Type.
I just love the R motion he makes while he's
like, "I'm fabulous.
Come at me, bro."
And like I said when we first talked about Type High Speed, I love the design.
I love the tire.
The tire's pretty awesome, but I like the wings on the helmet. Like the hood ornament.
Yeah.
Y'all can take a walk.
I like the tire too.
I'd rather take a drive.
So he fights awesomely with them. What I really liked quickly was that Go comes in and he actually does like his roll call catchphrase and pose. Unhenshin, which was really cool because I was hoping to see that someday.
Yeah.
But then he keeps fighting him. He uses Dream Vegas because, you know, high class people, gambling.
I like how we get an actual side-by-side explanation of why high speed is better in every single way.
It's a frigging car show.
As if it was a car show.
And then apparently Max Flare got upgraded to Mega Max Flare.
Which we get no explanation for, but sure.
And when he uses it, that tire literally design is what Max Flare should have been originally. It shouldn't be the stupid sun thing.
I liked it.
No, I liked the flames more because it matches what Max Flare looks like. Awesome. Yes, yeah. It's amazing. I kind of want that shift car now.
Oh, but the one thing we didn't mention was that after Shinosuke Henshin's, he changes his catchphrase. He's like, "Shall we drive?"
Yes, shall we drive?
And the monster's like, "No, thank you!"
Yeah.
In the second line.
Beats the shit out of him. And then you find out that apparently that high speed, there was no change to it at all. It's just it made Shinosuke.
The power was inside
morale boost, because that's what Toku heroes are powered by.
The power was inside of you all.
I like
along.
How when he does his Hisats, it's not full throttle high speed, it's full throttle Telebikun. And even the monster's like, what the fuck is that?
Yep.
So you're telling me I was being a pretentious dickhead for no reason?
Yes.
And even Mach, like, before
I can live with that.
Before they find out, Mach is like, can I try it? I want to be high-speed Mach.
It's not coming out of your thing.
Why is it not coming out? But yeah, so they find out that it was all a fucking psychosomatic effect, that he was actually just the same. Which doesn't explain how, when he was fighting him before, and they were using that, the monster was using the Hanukkah on him, and it was actually showing, you know, visible damage. But then when he used it on him while he was high-speed, no damage at all.
Because high speed was supposedly high defense.
But it wasn't. That's the problem.
But they have stated so many times in the past that the drive system and the Mach system are both based on their mental state.
Yeah, which
so
is, of course,
fact,
the proper
the
explanation.
The fact that he thinks he is way more advanced than the Roid Mute is unlocking, like, the full. Because
remember, drive is powered by the user's mental state. So, if he thought he was a badass, he'll fight like a badass.
You know what I'd really like to see? Type Road Rage!
Oh, maybe someday.
Type Drunk Driving!
Type and Drunk!
Anyways.
So, finding out that the luxury car actually isn't any stronger, it just looks nicer. And my immediate thought was, did this show just tell us that luxury cars are bullshit?
We'll call it Grumble Drunk.
Which I appreciated.
So, we then see the real issues of Telebikun, which, in contrast to Tebidekun having Shadow Moon, has Kamen Rider Black.
Yay.
And the episode ends with a trailer for Type Tokujo.
What is that?
It's a 4-part episode series, each of which comes with the Kamen Rider Drive Blu-rays.
Yeah.
So episode 1 is already out.
Series.
Episode 1 is already out, which I've watched the raw version of.
And features Kiriko transforming into Drive.
Yeah, and it's a story. It's basically a prologue about how they were all selected for the Tokujo branch.
Ah.
So
anyways,
we'll talk about those later as they get subbed.
Next week will be a lot of fun shit because we'll see Mach being a little shit and Star Ninja doing some awesome shit.
Go being even more of a little shit.
Yeah, I still love Go though.
I don't.
Go.
Not even a little shit.
I probably won't be here next. I probably won't be here next week because it'll be my birthday.
Oh shit! We're gonna do things.
All the more reason.
Probably seeing Ultron. Just saying.
Oh, that's
damn
right.
Straight.
That's next week.
It's
is it?
On my birthday.
Yeah.
Oh fuck! Yeah, we're going. Okay. Cast Ranger watches Ultron.
It's kind of a toku.
All right, Kevin, you want to send us off?
Thanks for doing the thing. There's a pod bean.
Follow
iTunes.
The things and subscribe
on Facebook. Subscribe to our things.
Don't forget about the YouTube.